listening to Get Sports Radio.
Get Sports Info Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Claskins, and fired up to be back with you here after a brief hiatus. Check it in with Episode 10, Players I Like Less, coming to you here on Sunday, July the 9th, and we are inching our way towards training camp, starting up things, really starting to get busy for me as well, but man, am I in football mode. Took a little break, took a little hiatus there around the 4th of July. Got to spend some time with some friends and some family and, wow, refreshed, ready to get into it. During that time, got back on Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Radio. I've already put in four shows there, hosting Fantastic's Insider Football. We're back with you Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, and Sundays, too, during the preseason, myself and James Adams. Happy to be talking some fantasy football with my longtime buddy there, and we are definitely itching to check out what's going on in the Fantastic's Draft Advisor software tool. The software is out now. I've been hosting the show six seasons, using the software during that time as well. And wow, the consistent output that comes from using the software, unbelievable. It's very diverse. It allows you to enter in all your leagues. Some of my favorite features, the fact that the position scarcity, I mean, it is such a key as you're going through your drafts and your auction, and there's no tool better than the industry, than the Draft Advisor software tool at real-time changing of your rankings based off of that available player pool, what the other rosters have on it. I highly encourage you. You can download a free trial. Check it out, insiderfootball.com. Be sure to check myself and James Adams out as well. As I said, weekend mornings there, Sirius 210 XM 87. Also, knee deep in all my stuff now going on over at Pro Football Focus. Had a number of articles come out recently, most recently this week. I looked at a group of seven second-year receivers I think are ready to deliver here in 2017. And an article that just came out here today at Pro Football Focus, and one I'm going to touch on a bit here in this podcast, and that is what fantasy options could lead their positions in fantasy points in 2017. Who are the guys that can do it? I mean, really, when it boils down to it, there's a few guys that each position are easy locks. There's a few long shots, too, today. I'm going to go through, tell you who I think the favorite is and the long shot with a realistic chance at each of those four primary positions. Also, obviously, players I like less. It's the title of the episode, so we'll get into that in a minute as well. My rankings are still at for Fantasy Pros as well. I'm looking at this expert consensus ranking here at Fantasy Pros. There are guys that are definitely popping out that I am not as high on as others in the industry. And I'll go through 10 players that qualify for that in a moment. I'm getting pumped up too. I'm knee-deep in a 12-team Fantasy Standard League draft over at Pro Football Focus right now. And I'm really not a fan of standard leagues. I don't play in a lot of them. But when you draft them, I mean, obviously, there's a little more emphasis on bell cows and players that are more likely and inclined to score touchdowns. I still like my yardage guys, but I got to tell you, picking out of the nine hole here, I really like the way. And I've been finding myself in a lot of these drafts, these mocks, these MFL 10s. I'm more on this backside. It's not on purpose. It's just where I've been drafting. Really like it there, though. Was able to get Mike Evans at pick 1.09. Love that. Came back and got my guy Jay Ajayi there at pick 204. Third round, fell back to me. Brandon Cooks, as we'll talk about here in a minute, this is a guy that I'm not as high on as some in the industry, but I still think he's a great wide receiver too, especially in standard leagues. I got him at pick 3.09. Carlos Hyde, one of my RB1s in standard formats. I got him right there in the fourth round. And came back Drew Brees. Don't really like going quarterbacks too early, but, I mean, what a safe pick he was. I got him at pick 509 as QB4 off the board in this draft, actually. Emmanuel Sanders in the sixth round, came back with Frank Gore in round 7. My most recent pick, Kyle Rudolph, in round 8. I'm loving that team, how it goes right now. Got Rudolph, got Breeze, a few running backs, a few receivers. After eight rounds, I couldn't be much more balanced than that. And you'll have to check it out. We'll be recapping it. I'm not recapping it. One of the other analysts at Pro Football Focus will get you up to speed there. But mocks, drafts, ADPs, this is the time to be doing it, folks. If you're not playing MFL 10s or doing mock drafts, it's one of the reasons I love the Draft Advisor software tool. You can set the mock draft to go what you like. I also highly encourage you to check out a site I've become a big fan of here this offseason, Fantasy Football Calculator. They got a lot of great draft and ADP data out there for each and every format, so check it out as well. Also, tomorrow we'll be starting up. First year I've participated in the 2017 Fishbowl and the hashtag SFB7 Invitational, and we are really excited to be playing against some of the best in the industry here, and Scott Fish, and obviously all the things that they've got going on. Fantasy for calls, and I'm looking forward. I always like great causes. This appears to be one, but man, it'll be a good time to have the Fantastic software tool, because this is one of those leagues that's got some whacked out rules that, you know, even an expert and longtime player like myself gets a little intimidated by. The 1.5 point PPR for tight ends is always a twist, but this league's got 1 point for rushing first downs, 1 point for receiving first downs. Lots of things to consider. I'm picking seventh here. It's a slow draft. It starts tomorrow. We'll be updating you on that on future episodes. The feature topic of today's podcast, though, is clearly the players I like less. And one of my favorite parts, and I talk about it back in episode 8, if you missed that a few weeks back, I looked at the players I like more and certainly identified the guys that I'm a little ahead of the curve. These are the guys you see ending up on a lot of my mock draft teams right now because I just can't pass up that value. Today, I want to flip the script a little bit. I want to look at the guys that I like a little less than some others in the industry. Let's start at quarterback because there's two names that really pop off this list. Guys that I think some owners will be happy with as their QB1s. And I'm not crushing these guys, but there is a definite difference on how I feel. And we'll start with the Tennessee Titan quarterback, Marcus Mariota, a guy that I've long been a fan of. I've got him currently in my rankings at Pro Football Focus and Fantasy Pros at 13th at the position. And I think that's a realistic spot for him. A guy coming back off of a major injury that he is coming off of here. I mean, it happened late in the season. Injury's part of the reason I'm just a little reluctant to go much higher on Mariota, to be honest with you. And as I look at the guy, I mean, clearly we saw last season what the upside looks like. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there was a stretch of the season he was carrying it. And let's be clear, I think he has a ceiling that's pretty high. But the expert consensus ranking has him at QB7. QB7. I am just not prepared to put him that high. I think there's some red flags still. As I mentioned, the injuries. He's yet to play a full 16-game season. Back in 2015, he missed two games midseason with a sprained MCL. He also missed the final two games that year. And then, of course, last week in Week 16, the fractured fibula. I mean, he's making progress here, but he's got a young quarterback with some young weapons, and he's going to miss some valuable time here this summer. I expect by preseason he's going good. We'll be keeping our eyes on him in training camp, but beyond the injuries, a little bit unproven too. I mean, Mariota has just 300-yard passing games in his career, and after surpassing 300 yards twice his rookie season, he did it once last year even during that stuff. If the guy threw 600 passes, yeah, he'd be a top five quarterback. I could see him at number 7. I'd probably have him there or slightly ahead. But it's a run-first team. They've got a great line, some good running backs, some good weapons. Marcus Mariota is a player on the rise, but not rising this far for me. I'm sorry, folks. The other quarterback that makes my list of players I like less, this one, a veteran quarterback, and it's Ben Roethlisberger. I've got him all the way down at 17. The guy was contemplating retirement. The road-home splits, I mean, I don't really have to get into them. They're so well blown out of proportion. Let me correct myself there. They are very well documented. Let's put it that way. I've got him at 17. Perhaps that is a little bit aggressive. I'll admit it. But I just think the wheels are going to start falling off for him. Similar to the way I think about Carson Palmer, although the experts aren't that far off of my thoughts with Palmer, I've got him at 17. The expert consensus is 12. And, I mean, Big Ben has started 16 games just three times, 12 seasons, folks. This guy is so beat up. I mean, Can he make it through? Like I said, he's already contemplated retirement this offseason. I know some thought that that wasn't a real thing, that Big Ben was sort of throwing out a bluff there, but that is not the fact of the matter here. He had a miserable 2015. I mean, if you go back just 2 years ago, he only played 12 games. He threw 21 touchdowns. He was intercepted 16 times. Last year, a little bit better, but I mean, yes, when he's at or near 100%, and when he is at Three Rivers Stadium, or excuse me, gosh, Heinz Field, I should say, I'm showing my age on that one, when he's at home, let's just call it that, when Big Ben is playing with the black unis on or those ugly prison-look jersey-like jerseys they wear sometimes in Pittsburgh, when he's there and he's near 100%, yeah, he might be QB1. Problem is, that's only about 25% of the season, folks. He will benefit from getting a few more weapons added back to the mix this offseason. And, yeah, he might finish as a low-end QB1. But, folks, the floor is much lower than the ceiling is high here. I'm avoiding Roethlisberger, and I can't believe he's still showing up at top 10 in some experts' rankings. I think it is a big miss there. Let's move over to the running back position, because here I have four players that simply I just like a little less than others are targeting right now. And I think the guy that tops the list is Lamar Miller. I wasn't really that sold on him as high as some others last year. Didn't really end up with a lot of shares. I think in my dozen or so leagues, season longs I actually ended up with last year, I think I might have had Miller in one spot. And it wasn't on a purpose. It just ended up that way. But I don't know. The team's obviously not that all sold on him. Dante Foreman was drafted. I think you're looking at a Texans team that, quite frankly, I mean, since the days of Arian Foster being a stud, the days when Gary Kubiak was the head coach, they really haven't been able to move that football in the ground very effectively. 15 rushing touchdowns is all you've seen this team be produced in their last 32 games. Quarterback situation's a little bit improving here, but I'm sorry, folks. I'm looking at Lamar Miller, expert consensus ranking at Fantasy Pros as RB12. No way is this guy an RB1 on my board. I've got him at 17, and to be quite frank, it's come to that spot in drafts, and I find myself leapfrogging him for the upside of some of these younger running backs, guys that I believe have a higher ceiling, and that's what I'm looking for there. Another veteran running back sort of falling down my ranks, C.J. Anderson of the Broncos. I've got him at 24. I think he's a low-end RB2. He could pan out, but I don't know. I don't think he's got 16 games in him either. The fact that he signed Jamal Charles, you got Devontae Booker going there, and a quarterback situation is sort of a mess. I mean, this guy, C.J. Anderson, he could be the league's slowest starting tailback right now. I mean, let's face it. This guy is slow, and I think you're looking at the offensive line not as good as we've seen in recent years there. I do think he could get into the top 15 if he stays healthy and everything breaks right. We've seen some flashes, but I don't know. I think we're going to see some other guys emerge here, and Anderson's a guy that, quite frankly, I'm just looking for something better as my RB2. The expert consensus ranking at 18, currently I'm six spots lower. Amir Abdullah, let's continue to go down the list here. I mean, I get it, folks. I saw the preseason play or two, and let's be clear. I mean, everybody and their brother in Detroit is crossing the fingers that Amir Abdullah can actually get it done. I've got the guy at 30 in my ranks here. I could see him. If he's my RB3 and I'm able to get him in the mid-rounds, I'll take my chances, because I agree, there's a ceiling there. But this guy has been plagued by injuries. He has been plagued by fumbles. Broken foot shelved him almost all of last season. And you're looking at a Lions team that, I mean, I think they're better suited throwing the football. They have what they need. You got Riddick working on the passing down, so Abdullah there is not going to get a ton of work. I'm questioning whether or not they're going to use him at the goal line. They have other options, Zach Zinner, Matt Asiata, and the list goes on. Dwayne Washington, if you want to buy into his roster spot, who knows? But Amir Abdullah is an RB3, folks. Let's not get cute here and say he's a lock as an RB2. Yeah, he could finish that way. I admit he's got some upside. I'm not writing him off completely. He is not dead to me, but he's overrated. I got him five spots lower in my expert consensus ranking. One fantasy running back that is dead to me, I'm sorry, folks, it's Matt Forte. If you haven't been listening to the podcast or you don't know me that well on Twitter at Dan Claskins, that's fine, but know that I'm all over Bilal Powell. He was on the guys I like more, and the biggest reason is because I think it's over for Mr. Matt Forte. The Jets are brutal to begin with, so you have that. I mean, Bilal Powell just outperformed him down the stretch last year in every sense of the word when he got the opportunity. And Forte, on the wrong side of 30, the guy just offers very little upside at all. Yeah, he might get a game or two early in the season before it starts really going south for him, where he seems like he's a real deal, but the production's on the decline. 3.7 yards per carry, only 30 receptions last year out of the backfield, and if he's not catching the ball out of the backfield, folks, at 31 years of age, he offers nothing. The fact that he's even showing up at 38 inside the top 40 at running back at Fantasy Pros right now, I find a bit laughable. I got him at RB46, and I'm only doing that off name recognition. He might not start the season in my top 50 by the time the dust settles here. And who knows, can he stay healthy that long at this age? He's breaking down, folks. I'm jumping off that train before it comes off the tracks. So let's go to wide receivers as we work our way through players I like less. And I already sort of teased this one a little bit earlier because I have drafted him, but Brandon Cooks has to start my list here. Hey, I like the guy. I think he's a wide receiver too, though. And the expert consensus ranking has him as a very high-end wide receiver, too, at 13th overall at receiver. I've got him at 17th. It's only four spots down, but that's why I was so surprised I actually got him on a team, because I do like him as a wide receiver, too. I'll take him late third, early fourth round in the right formats, in the right situation, with the right player still there on the board. But wide receiver 13, I'm not there. There's a handful of players that I'd much rather have in those spots. I have some questions. Can he handle the cold weather? Can he adjust with Tom Brady? Will there be enough targets there given all the weapons in that offense? So for me, Brandon Cook's a guy that I think is the hype train's rolling a little fast on. The same could be said for Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill. He's a wide receiver 3. Once again, I've got him more as a mid-range 3 at 32 right now. 27's his expert consensus rank. That's a 5-spot differential. I do like him. I mean, clearly he's on the rise with Macklin gone. More targets, more opportunities, more snaps. He's a player that is dynamic. If you play in a league where you get the touchdowns for the returns, he does skyrocket. He might even be low-end wide receiver 1 in those formats where the yardage and everything's factored in. But, folks, he's just a name that people are way too hot on for me, and that's why I probably won't be paying that steep price. Martavis Bryant, another one. Yeah, there's risk there. I actually favor Hill slightly over Bryant. I got Bryant at 34, Hill 32 in my ranks, but they're 27-28, the expert consensus. I mean, mostly with Bryant is, can he stay consistently on the football field? Can he stay in the game plan? If he does, then he's going to be great. But remember, back to the beginning of this segment, I talked about the reasons I don't like Ben Roethlisberger. And if I'm not that crazy about Roethlisberger and I think it's going to fall off, I think all these wide receivers are going to take a hit. Bryant is definitely a guy that has a wide receiver 2 potential. The risk is high, though. I don't know. Maybe he's a guy that I don't like as much less. It wouldn't be on this list after I see it a little bit in training camp and during preseason. But currently, a guy I'm not drafting quite early enough to get him in these early mock drafts. And finally, the receiver, Jeremy Maclin. I think there's a name. I mean, yeah, I like his fit with Baltimore. I think it was good that the Ravens added him. Probably saved a bad mistake in the offseason of not addressing the position a little bit more thoroughly. But he's 40 right now at the expert consensus. I've got him at 50. That's 10 spots. That's one of the biggest differentials of a top 50 receiver on my board. I think people are a little too optimistic about Maclin. I don't know how much this guy, I mean, he was playing hurt last year. I don't think he's completely done, but I'm not sold on him being 10 spots higher. Maybe I'll split that difference as we get closer to the season, as these rankings adjust and injuries happen and stuff. But right now, in these early drafts, he's overvalued. Let's get into my final little piece of segment today. We're going to talk about an article that came out today. I wrote it. It was published at Pro Football Focus Fantasy. And by the way, if you haven't checked out the new and improved Pro Football Focus, a lot of bells and whistles still being added, but holy cow, what a great revamp of the website. My rankings there now, part of the consensus rankings. You can get them for everything you need. You want to check that out. And definitely check out the article today. What fantasy options could lead their positions? And here's the thing. As I talked about at the beginning of the segment, if you can take a glance across those rankings at Pro Football Focus, across any rankings, you're going to find this basically the same handful of players near the top. When you talk about guys that can finish number one at their position in fantasy points this season, sure, injuries can happen to any of them. But if you took injuries completely out of it and looked at the guys that realistically had a chance, I got my list down to less than 20 players at four positions cumulatively. I want to look at my favorite and my long shot that I think still has a realistic chance at each position. We'll start at quarterback. Aaron Rodgers, clearly the favorite. I got him a 5-2 favorite over 4-1 Tom Brady. And I mean, Rodgers has the rushing part. And you look at last year, I mean, this guy became the first quarterback in NFL history to throw 39-plus touchdowns, to run for at least four scores, and to put up 350 or more yards on the ground. He's consistent. Rodgers, my favorite at quarterback. My long shot guy, the guy I think has probably not a near even in the top five in most people's rankings that I think could finish number one, is the Redskins' Kirk Cousins. And since Jay Gruden arrived in D.C. a few years back, the Redskins, 286 yards per game through the air. That's the fourth most in the league. This team has all the pieces there, folks. The weapons are there. I think that defense is shaky just enough. The schedule's a little tough. I've got him as a 15-1 shot to do so. But of the players not in the top five, in that back part of the top 10 at quarterback, I think he has the highest ceiling. He's my long shot QB1. Here for this season. Let's go to running backs. There, I've been all season flip-flopping. But folks, I have officially decided Lev Bell, my number one running back. I've got him just over David Johnson. He's my favorite here, and I don't have to tell you how good this guy is. The only thing slowing him down is himself. I mean, seriously, if it's not for the suspensions or the injuries, this guy is awesome. 128.7 yards, 4.8 catches per game over his 47 games he's played in his career. He's my favorite. Who's that long shot guy at running back? Well, for me, Jay Ajayi. I've got him 14-1 here. And from week six on, no running back in football. More carries than Ajayi. You saw Dolphins head coach Adam Gase this offseason talking about, hey, he can get this guy 350 carries this season. And you look at some of them Pro Football Focus numbers, that elusive rating metric at 76, number one there. Number one also in yards after contact for running backs, 3.46. Also number one in forced missed tackles at 58. You take, and everybody says that doesn't, everybody I talk to don't like Ajayi, tells me the same thing. Well, he got it all in just a few games. You know, a few big games. His numbers, okay. But you take those numbers, you take those games. Like I said, from week six on, no running back had more carries or more yards. You take all those out. You stretch it out over to a 16-game stretch. If he can do that for a 16-game span, Ajayi will emerge as a Tier 1 fantasy running back. Finally, receivers. My favorite receiver, once again, a Steeler, and it's Antonio Brown. I think you can make an argument for him as the number one overall pick still in PPR formats. I wouldn't go that way. I would take him number three, though, over Ezekiel Elliott after those two running backs. And, I mean, you look at the guy over the last four years, only one missed game during that span, averaging 120 catches, 1,579 yards, 10.8 touchdowns. What more do you have to say? My long shot receiver, 16-1 shot to be wide receiver one this year. How about the Texans' DeAndre Hopkins? I mean, last year at this time, we were all talking about him being a first rounder. And hey, I'm rolling right off last year's disappointment because of Brock Osweiler and that disaster that became the quarterback. I like Deshaun Watson there to take over sooner rather than later. And I think Watson's mobility helps him get open downfield. I think DeAndre Hopkins has an amazingly high ceiling for guys that, you know, you look outside that top five at receiver. Who outside that top five has the talent and the ability and perhaps the opportunity to actually leapfrog that group? I think Hopkins is only one of the few names you could consider there. So you want to see the complete list. You want to look at all the receivers, running backs, quarterbacks. See who my favorite is at tight end and who else is the long shot there. Well, check it out, Pro Football Focus. You can also get it on my Twitter account at Dan Claskins. And while you're there, if you have some fantasy questions, you want to follow along with some fantasy news, the podcast, be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dan Claskins. Also, be sure to follow the podcast at Get Sports Info on Twitter. You can like the page on Facebook and subscribe. That's what I really need. More subscribers. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can get us on SoundCloud, Google Play. Don't forget about Stitcher. We're there too. I really love seeing you guys leave some reviews and your feedback. If you got an idea for a topic, whatever, send me an email as well, getsportsinfo@gmail.com. Until next time around, when we get to episode 11, we're going to get into the 2017 AFC West primer. Plus, we're going to start talking about the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. Big announcements ahead on that. They're coming back to Cincy. We're going to Louisville. There's online drafts, too. We'll talk about them next time around as well. Until then, thank you for listening. We'll be back real soon with your AFC West preview as we continue to roll along this offseason on the Get Sports Info podcast.